This message you're about to listen to was recorded live at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the Throne Room Parish, Transcorp Hilton, Abuja. Be blessed as you listen.
Your God is a wonderful God. See, God delights in the prosperity of his people. All the people that say prosperity and they criticize it and all that, no. He delights. His word is there. He delights by getting there. He's happy when you prosper. That's what he says. He delights in the prosperity of his people. Put your hands again together and shout a big hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10 from verse 12. And also the book of Acts chapter 9 from verse 31. Thank you. Pleasing God. I'll read the scriptures and then we'll tie them up. Deuteronomy chapter 10 from verse 12. And Acts of the Apostles chapter 9 from verse 13. It says, "Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" What does God require of thee? "But to fear the Lord thy God." Have you seen it there? "To fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So Acts chapter 9 from verse 31. "Then have the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and also in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They were now multiplied." The church grew because they walked in the fear of the Lord and also in the love, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We are looking at pleasing God. Someone say pleasing God. Say pleasing God. I will advise that you get this series so you can put everything together to give you a bigger picture. Many people have been testifying, powerful testimony of transformation, of even the presence of God, even through this message. That people are able to experience the presence of God. Not only through his word, but through that divine presence, through the expression of his presence. Since we are two, three people have come together in my name, there in the midst of them. I'm talking about the manifest presence of God. Where people have been able to experience that. Because of this message, people have received their testimony. And I said, for someone, this might just be the missing link in your Christian walk. This might be the missing link to that your testimony. This might be the missing link to that alignment. Because God wants you to align with him. And it's so important that you understand these concepts very well. Because our God is a God of principles. It's not a respecter of persons. Can I hear somebody say a very big amen to that? Amen. Say, my God is a God of principles. Say, my God is a God of principle. God does not respect persons. He respects principles. So the principle first before the person. Hallelujah. You understand what God is saying here? He himself said that in his word. Hallelujah. So if you did what Abraham did, you would get exactly the same result. If you did what Solomon did, you get exactly the same result. Why? Because it's a God of principles. There are divine laws. And I pray in the precious name of Jesus that God will bring about the alignment that he has proposed in himself to take you to the place where he has destined for you. Because only in that place you can begin to blossom and to bloom. And I see many destiny here will begin to blossom, will begin to bloom. Hallelujah. What people say, you know, sometimes they say, "Oh boy, that guy don't blow." You begin to blow in the Lord, in the name of Jesus. How many of us understand what I'm saying? Aha, you blow. Not blow up, but you will blow in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the name of the Lord. So, Revelation chapter 4 from verse 11. It says, "For thou, O Lord, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So all things were created for God's pleasure. You are created to give him pleasure. Everything that you are, that you have everything that you become. In God's mind, all your life, everything is supposed to give him pleasure, to make him happy, to warm up his heart. Because when God is pleased, he goes beyond some certain boundaries to do what he will not do for others. From this teaching, we saw it very clearly in the life of Solomon, where God had to ask him and say, "Please, Solomon, just I will give you what you have not even asked for. I will give you what you have not asked for." Why? Because what you just asked pleased my heart. I'm so excited. You have tickled my fancy. This is what I desire. You're giving me pleasure. So I'm going beyond. Solomon, ask me anything. Just ask me. All what people are chasing about. I want to kill my enemies. I want to reach these 25 days to reach to the top. Success, I will give it to you. Free. No covenant seed. I give it to you. Because it's coming out of the abundance of the overflow of you pleasing me, the pleasure that I have. This is exactly how it happens. You have a father who has a heart. God is not dim, strong, heavy. God has a tender heart. How many of us know that God has a heart? And his heart is very tender, full of mercy, he's gracious and all that. God wants to be happy to you, towards you. And when God is pleased with you, I tell you, there are blessings that he will release into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus Christ has not come and died and paid the price for you to be born again so you can continue to live unto yourself. No. See what it says there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 15. And he died for all, that they which should live, not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth we know man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now we don't know him henceforth. For if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things have passed away, because behold, all things have become new. So, the reason why Christ came and paid the price for you is for you to give God pleasure. So he can reconcile you for lives that have gone haywire. People have sinned. By reason of the sin of Adam. And he came to pay the price. Why? To reconcile all things to himself so that you can begin to give. It is not for you. You see that we henceforth not live unto ourselves. It's not for you. Every gospel that exalts man above the righteousness of God is from Satan. It's not of God. Because God's plan and purpose, why he created you, was to give him pleasure. How many of us understand that? Praise the name of the Lord. So, how do we give him pleasure? We mentioned many ways, but this morning I'll mention just one way. And I'll be typing we'll look at the type in the scriptures. Abraham. Somebody say, please say, fear of the Lord. Psalm 147 from verse 11. Psalm 147, 11. It says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. So God takes pleasure in those that fear him. The fear he's talking about here is not to be horrified by God. It's not to be terrified by him. It's not to be intimidated by him. It's not to be terrorized by him. It's talking about the fear of the Lord. It's a reverential fear. When you give God the utmost honor, whatsoever you do, just like where we have read earlier on, you discover that loving God and fearing God, they are two different concepts. It is the combination of the two that makes you a balanced person in his presence. Hallelujah. Because it's possible that you love someone and not respect him. And I tell you what, it is dangerous for you not to honor God. It's dangerous for you not to honor him. We saw just from earthly from your earthly father. I see some people are very rude to their father, even though they love their father. They talk to their parents anyhow. And some of them are Christians, you know. I tell them, I say, see, you are treading on dangerous ground because your father might be maybe uneducated and illiterate or not even a Christian. But if you transgress the divine laws, if your father causes you to come to pass, why? There's a particular honor, respect, regard, fear that you must give unto our parents. How many of us understand what I'm saying? I was counseling someone many years ago who was trying to beat his father. Can you imagine that? The father that gave birth to you, trying to beat him up. They were fighting. And some people would talk anyhow to their parents. You know, and sometimes they look at the weakness of their parents to deal with them. And sometimes they don't even know that they are passing or they are crossing the boundaries. Genesis chapter 9 from verse 22. We see what Ham did. It says, and Ham, the father of Canaan, when he saw the nakedness of his father, while his father was drunken, Noah was drunk. He had a weakness with beer or with alcohol. So he drank and he was drunk. And then his son came and saw his nakedness. Instead of him to cover his father, he went about and started gisting. Say, oh boy, if you see my father, if you see how, you know, his body is, if you see how his bum bum is, he will be laughing and all that. And when this man woke up from his drunken state and then discovered what Ham did to him, he was crossed. Why? Even though he loved him, he did not honor him. You must fear them. That is why the Bible says that, it says, honor your father and your mother, right? So that you do what? Might be what? Long? And that it shall be well with thee, right? It's a law. It's a principle. It doesn't matter whether it's an illiterate. It does not matter whether it's not educated. It does not matter whether it's a Muslim or a Christian. You must honor your parents. The same way too, God deserves honor. And see what Noah did. When Noah came out from the drunken state, he cursed him. And he said unto Ham, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Canaan is his grandchild. And Canaan is the son of Ham. So he was saying that what you have done to me, your sons too will do for you. And everything came to pass. If you see what happened to Japheth, if you see what happened to Shem, he blessed them. And Canaan today is still a servant. Still a servant. So it is dangerous for you not to honor your parents. The same way too with God. When you honor him, you give him reverence. There are some things that you will not do. Not because somebody is pressing you, but just because you honor God. There are some things I cannot do to my wife, not because I don't love her or because of her. When I think of God, I say, oh, God, I honor you. I honor you. I can't do this thing. I remember one time, a girl came to me and said, you know, we have to pray. God, I want him to be born again. I want my husband to be born again. And I remember one of my sisters those days, one of my lovely sisters, you know, she was praying. Say, Pastor Tunde, please, let's pray. I want my husband to be born again. I want him to be born again. It got so serious. I was saying, you want him to be born again. She wanted him to be born again, not because she wanted him to make heaven. She didn't want him following other women. So he's gone out again. He's gone again. Let's pray. Let him be born again. Fire of God. Arrest him. No. She just wanted him for herself. Not because she wanted him to make heaven. I said to her, you know, I said to them, I said, what you need to do? Let the fear of God be with him. Some of us will tell the guy there, oh, have they landed? Driver, where is he? Is he in this person's house? Oh, I don't like that man. That man is a useless man. I don't want him to be hanging around. I've always wanted, you're just giving yourself stress. What you should do? Pray for the fear of God. Anywhere where he is, whether it's in China, whether it's in America, whether it's in Lodiba, the fear of the Lord will direct him. How many of us understand what I'm saying? Say, nobody can see me. What is someone to do? No. But because I fear God, I'm not going to do it. If the fear of God comes back to this country, many things will change. In the executives, many things will change. Because before they take any decision, they will say, what will God say about this? The judiciary, before they, oh God, what will God say about this? when you see people moving with the fear of God, they are aligned with God's will. It's not enough for you to just love God. You must fear Him. And when you fear God, God goes beyond. God goes beyond to be a blessing unto you. Hallelujah. We saw it in the life of Abraham. Somebody say Abraham. Abraham, God met Abraham. And Abraham had the fear of God. We saw it in Genesis chapter 20 from verse 10. He had the fear of God. And God came unto Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. And the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. Somebody say a great nation. I will bless thee. Somebody say I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. Somebody say I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. Somebody say thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. And I will curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So there are sevenfold blessings. And so Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him. Lot also went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed Haran. He took his wife Sarah with him and his brother's wife. You can see what happened in the life of Abraham. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which after received an inheritance, when not knowing where he was going, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a strange land, dwelling in tents and tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the same land of promise, for he waited for a city which has foundation, whose maker and builder is God. So as soon as God spoke to Abraham, Abraham just went. He just went. Now, what was the driving force behind his obedience? He just went. Do you know what it means for you to dislocate a man of 75 years old from a place? Remember, Terah was his father. You know, and they were all living in the all of the Babylonians. And then his father had three children. Abraham was among, Nahor, you know, and one other person. And one of the children gave birth to Lot. So they started the movement from the awe of the Chaldeans or from the awe of the Babylonians to Canaan. So they got to Haran and then they were there. And his father lived there for 205 years and then he died. And when he died, Abraham now continued the journey. And then God now came and spoke to Abraham. And Abraham had been there for many years. And God said, come out of your country. Come out of your father's house. Come out of thy kindred to the place where I will show thee. And, you know, I'm just wondering. And Abraham just obeyed. 75 years old, had built a network in Haran, had been there for many years. And God says, come out of your region. Come out of thy kindred. Come out from thy father's home, from your home. These are tripartite ties, you know, that holds a man down. You see, when you go to the embassy, that's one of the questions they're going to ask you. They will ask you, are you married? What property do you have here? Because they are trying to find out if you just want to run away. Because they know as long as you have a tie in this country, you always come back. Am I supposed to understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So they were wondering. So, but you see, there was no war. So it wasn't a case of migration. And God said, Abraham, be uprooted from here. And he just obeyed and went. Not only that, he says, Abraham, go to the place which I will show you. Do you know what it means for you to take an adult and say, come, let's just go. I will show you the place. That is big stress, you know. I remember one of my sons, you know, one day I had to shout because they are always disturbing me. When I say, come, let's go out. As soon as they get into the car, they were so young. Daddy, daddy, where are we going? Daddy, daddy, where are we going? I said, what am I going to take you to somewhere? Why are you asking? Because, you know, even as a child, you want to know where you are going. But you see, it says, come out to a place which I will afterwards show thee. And Abraham just left. What was it that was behind Abraham's obedience? And again, God appeared unto him. We'll soon find out right now. And again, God appeared unto him the second time. And God spoke to him. Genesis chapter 22 from verse 2. He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. My God. And Abraham just obeyed. The next morning, early in the morning, the Bible says Abraham just, you know, saddled his donkey, took Isaac and two servants, and then so they went. When they were going, they got to the place, and then God showed him the particular mountain, and Abraham said, you two servants, just stay here. Isaac, come. He took the wood, put it on Isaac, and then he brought out the knife. I'm sure Isaac must have been wondering. And this journey took about 3 days to get to the place where God, you know, had designated that he should offer his son. It must have been excruciating for him. He must have gone through many things in his heart. But he just obeyed. Why did he obey God? What was the driving force? What made him obey God? You will soon see. So they got there. Took him. And as they were going, climbing the mountain, Isaac asked one question. Father, this is the fire. This is the wood. Where is the offering? He never knew that he was the offering. So he took him up there, laid him, tied him, and then took the knife and wanted to slaughter him and kill him and offer him as a sacrifice to God. And then an angel cried out from heaven. Genesis chapter 22 from verse 11. It says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld. So it was the fear of God. It was the fear of God. When a man has the fear of God, you will tremble at God's word. You will tremble at his word. God says something for you, to you on the pulpit, like God is saying something to someone right now. You will tremble at his word and say, God, it's so important that the fear of the Lord returns to the church, especially in Nigeria. People manipulate things. They say what God has not said. Prophesy things, even man of God. They state manage miracles because there's no fear of God anymore. Can you imagine in the church? Listen very carefully. The fear of the Lord is so important. It will make you to obey God. You will tremble at it. Listen, this morning, one of the things that I'm going to pray is that God will give you a heart. A heart that is completely captured with the spirit of the fear of the Lord Almighty. And that your life will change. Why? Because it pleases God. Now see what God did. When God realized that Abraham pleased him because he feared him. See what God said here. Genesis 22 verse 16. See what God said. Remember what we read? We read the sevenfold blessing. But when God was excited, God added, he went beyond that. See what God says here. And God said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. See, it says that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because you have obeyed my voice. Why? Because you have my fire. Why? Because I'm pleased when you fear me. So he said, please God. Say, God said, oh, listen, God, the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one to whom all angels bow to, the one that does not change, the one that fills all in all, the one that has the whole universe in his hands. He was so excited. He said, can a man fear me this way? He looked at him. He swore for God to swear over a man. And he was looking, what can I swear with? What can I swear with? But there was nothing higher than him. So he swore by himself. He said, I swear by myself. I swear by myself, Abraham, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Your seed shall be as the sand by the seashore. Hey, my God! He says, even your seed, they shall possess the gates of the enemies. And through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Oh, Abraham, you have pleased me. Abraham, you fear me. I have not seen a man like this that fears me. And therefore, I can swear over you. Do you know what it means for God to swear over a man? Do you know what it means for God to use himself and say, I swear over you? It means that God was so pleased with him. God went beyond. 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 Beyond every boundary. And God made sure that everything that he said came to pass. Look at you. You're a product of it. It tells me that God's word can never fail. I said God's word can never fail. God is looking for people who not only will love him, but people who will walk in his fear. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. God is raising a generation of men, of women, of families, of adults. God is raising a generation of teenagers, of youth, who will fear him and tremble at his word. Can God swear over you? How many of us are for the fear of the Lord? Say, God will love you and will fear you. Stand on your feet very quickly. Very quickly. Thank you, my Father. Now lift up those hands and just sanctify the Lord. And say, Lord, I bring my heart unto you. I can see many people all over the place raising up their hands. Too numerous to come out. But where you are seated there and say, Lord, make me fear you. Make me sanctify you. Make me tremble at your word. Thank you. Go ahead and just speak to God one more time. Talk to him. This is an individual thing. Go ahead and talk to him. My life must make a difference. If God did it for Abraham, God can do it for me. It wasn't because he was Abraham. No. It was because of the principles that Abraham, if you did what Abraham did, you will get the same results. Enough of playing church with God. Enough of playing a life of hypocrisy. You will rise up and tell the Lord, let your fear arrest my heart. Let the spirit of fear come upon me as never before. Make me, oh God, live a life to honor you. You come first in everything I do. When you speak a word, I obey. No arguments. My Father, help me. Go ahead and just lift up your voice and pray. Let my life be used for your glory. Thank you, my Father. We are singing hallelujah. I'm singing hallelujah. used for your glory.
I'm singing hallelujah.
I am singing hallelujah. I am singing
hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Blessed be your holy name. In the precious name of Jesus, thank him. Lift up your hands and just thank the Lord for tonight. I mean, for this morning, and just bless him for this afternoon. And thank him for his word. Let his word bear fruit in your life. In the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name. I have an instruction from God. As we're starting the service, to pray for some certain people here in your body, are not feeling fine, and this is a serious case. It's a serious ailment. And God is saying that, you know, he paid the price, and I'm trusting God for you that you will give your own testimony. Hallelujah. So wherever you are, you put your hands even on that part. If it's your whole body, if it's a blood issue, God is going to do it for you. Not tomorrow, but this moment. Thank you, King of Glory. So if you're not feeling fine in your body, very quickly, just come out very quickly. I want to pray for you. Very quickly. Thank you. Ministers, please come. Church, you may intercede. You can, like, if you want to sit down, you can sit down. But just a very brief moment, we'll pray for these ones. You can stretch forth your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Yesterday, thank you, my Father. Something happened some time ago. You know, I've seen very serious issues change, and some of you are testifiers here. And yesterday, I was just discussing with one of my brothers, when we went out to pray for someone the night yesterday, who was not feeling very fine. And again, he reminded me of what happened some years ago, of a sister we now call Sister Miracle, and how God intervened in a situation when she had, you know, something was growing in her pancreas and she had to be taken abroad, and how God, you know, moved in a spectacular manner after we had shared the Holy Communion and taken the doctor took her in, brought her, took her in again, and the doctor said in America, said this could be a miracle because we're all following up with technology, we're calling and following up everything. And today she's back, she's alive, she gives the testimony more than once in church. Today we call her Sister Miracle. That is what God can do. And so I do not know whether it is cancer or whatever it is. We've seen it not once, not twice. And I want you to just believe the word of God as we mention this name in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you. Please, church, help me pray as we minister to these ones. And I'm trusting God for instant testimony. Not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow, but right here in the precious name of Jesus. He's done a finished work for us in Jesus' mighty name. So, I will pray for them, and then the ministers will just lay hands on them, you know, and the power of God will come so powerfully on them in the precious name of Jesus. And we'll do this very quickly in Jesus' mighty name. And therefore, Lord, I just thank you and I bless you in the prayer. Can I pray with all the ministers very quickly? Thank you very quickly. Lord, I just want to thank you and I bless you, O God, in the precious name of Jesus. Let the healing virtue flow even through these hands this morning. Thank you, my Father. And let your word, O God, be confirmed in our experience this morning. In the precious name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, the name that is above every name. Thank you, my Father. I release this grace. Thank you, King of Glory. Just go and just lay hands on them very quickly.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. To download this message, please visit our podcast at The Throne Room on your handheld device or computer. For any inquiries, call 08087-000004 or visit the Life Center at number 20 Colorado Close off Dame Street, Maitama, Abuja. You can also visit our website, www.rccgthroneroom.org. You are highly lifted, highly favored.